The Holy Spirit imparts gifts to us, and some of them are called motivational gifts, and they're listed for us in Romans 12. And one of those gifts is the gift of serving. Servants are among the most important bodybuilders we have in the Church of Jesus Christ. And some of you, praise God, right here, have that gift. I have seen it in operation, and I honor you for exercising your gift when you see the needs in our body. But there are probably others in this congregation who are as guilty as I am of saying, I have the gift of being served. You know, that's a cop-out, because you do not have to have the gift of serving in order to serve. In fact, whether you have that gift or not, you and I are not exempt from serving. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. That's pretty direct, isn't it? God said it. And then he continued. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now here is something that a lot of people assume. They assume that by neighbor, it means the persons who are living in your same zip code. That is not necessarily true. The original word simply means those near you. Look around the room. Seriously, look around the room. Look around the room. Who's near you right now? We are neighbors right now. We are neighbors to one another. And we're more than neighbors to one another. We are family. We're neighbors and we're family. We are near to one another. So God said, love one another. And one of the primary ways that God wants us to love one another is in serving one another, one of the motivational gifts. Now, this is particularly interesting. It was read earlier. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. Now listen, to serve others. Each of us should use whatever gift, including the motivational gifts, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In other words, whatever motivational gift you have been given, you are to use that gift in order to serve. And if you've been given the gift of serving, you get to do it twice. Double the pleasure. That's bodybuilding 101. That is what strengthens a fellowship. Brothers and sisters, that is what builds a church, and that is God's call on us. Not to serve is selfish, to serve is unselfish. There was a Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach her children about being unselfish. So she concluded her lesson by saying this, the reason you are in this world, children, is to serve others. And one little girl thought about that for a moment, and then she raised her hand and she said, teacher, well then, what are the others here for? That's a good question. They're here to serve you. You are to serve them. They're to serve you. We are all servants in God's house. Some are just better at it than others, I have to admit. Some of you have the gift of serving. But we should never ask the question, to serve or not to serve? That question should not exist. Why? Because it is a directive of God. It is a command of God. It is an instruction of God from the commander-in-chief that we are supposed to serve. One day, a Christian woman called someone who had needs. This woman had a servant heart. And when she called her church friend and she said, how are you? Here's what was the answer was. She said, I'm terrible. My head is pounding. My back is killing me. My legs are killing me. The house is a mess. And the kids are driving me crazy. And so the caller said, okay, then, I want you to go lie down and rest. I'm going to come over right now, and I'm going to cook lunch for you. I'm going to clean up the house a little bit. I'm going to take care of the children while you rest, and I'll fix dinner for Sam when he gets home from work. The next thing she heard on the telephone was this. Sam? Who is Sam? My husband's name is Harvey. And the lady said, oh my gosh, I must have the wrong number. And after a moment, the next thing she heard on the phone was, does that mean you're not coming over? That's an excellent question, because we tend to serve people we know. We tend to ignore people we do not know, people who need the Lord. We should be people who serve one another and who serve outside of the church as well. We should be people who will come over when we're able, whether you're close to the person or not. Jesus told his disciples something that you know very well in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your what? Your what?
Servant.
Louder.
Servant.
Okay, wake up, people. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why would Jesus need to tell his disciples and us about that we need to serve others? The answer is very simple, and that's because serving does not often come naturally for us unless we're serving ourselves. That comes naturally. But serving others, sometimes we have to be taught. We have to be reminded. We have to be prodded. It has to be modeled for us. We have to have a guilt trip laid on us before we wake up to the fact that there are needs in the body of Christ. And we are called to serve. I'm not going to do this, but if I were to ask you to look around right now, and if I were to ask those of you who have needs in this body to raise your hand so that people could see the need, I'll bet if people were honest, hands would go up all over this room. But when we come here, we wear masks. We put on nice clothes and we put on nice smiles and we sing Amazing Grace and everything's wonderful, and we just don't let people know that we're needy. We're needy. We're too proud. We're too private. Babies are not servants. Amen? Babies are not servants. They need to be fed. They need to be pampered. They need to be changed. But when babies mature, they need to grow up into assuming some responsibilities for themselves. New Christians are like those babies. We need to serve new Christians. We need to focus on them. We need to care for them. We need to serve them. But what a tragedy it is if a Christian never grows up and is always immature in Christ. There would be no servants in the church if Christians did not grow up. Sadly, there are many churches that are filled with baby Christians and they're pacifiers. Not this church. This church, hallelujah, is filled with mature Christians. Look around. This church is filled with mature Christians. So we should have a higher percentage of servants among us than churches that are just filled with new Christians and baby Christians. Do we? Are there people in here who will come over when they're needed? The answer is yes, there are. There are people. I'm going to talk about that more later. First of all, I grew up in the South. I'm a North Carolina boy. I'm a Southerner in my traditions, and there was a strong tradition in my background when I grew up at that time. I don't know if it's still true today or not, probably is, but the tradition was this, that the role of women was to serve, and men were happy to watch. When men had their roles, they had to provide for the family, they also had heavy responsibilities, but when it came to the laundry, when it came to cleaning the house, when it came to cooking, when it came to washing the dishes, when it came to scrubbing the floors, when it came to sending thank you notes to people, when it came to buying the gifts and wrapping the gifts and making sure that the birthdays were remembered, and when it came to just caring for other people, those were considered feminine responsibilities. And frankly, there are a lot of men in the church today in every geographical zone that I know of who view the job of serving as something for the women to do. Try to get the men of any congregation to commit and be active. It's a full-time job, guys. Ask a woman to do it. She will say yes. Ask a man to do it, and he will say she will. Or he'll say yes, and then give her the task. Such men are like Lazarus in John 12, who reclined at the table with Jesus while Martha was in the kitchen doing all of the work. Men like that avoid serving at all costs whenever possible. And lots of guys never outgrow that attitude. They are happy to allow their wives to mother them until their grave. I hope I'm stepping on some toes, and I hope there's some conversations at home in private about what I'm saying. They are like little Johnny. Little Johnny had trouble pronouncing the letter R. Poor Johnny. So he avoided the letter R at all costs, and his teacher realized this, and so she gave him a sentence to practice at home, and this was the sentence. Robert gave Richard a rap in the rib for roasting the rabbit so rare. Well, he worked on it for a week, and he came back to school, and she asked him to recite it, and he stood up, and he loudly said, Bob gave Dick a poke in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. Too many men avoid the letter R if the letter R means serving, and too many wives enable them. Wives, wake up! Quit babying the men in your lives. Help them mature. Perhaps some guys need to remember the biblical example of Timothy. Paul described Timothy this way in Philippians 3. Paul said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare. That is the mark of a man or a woman who has the motivational gift of serving, taking a genuine interest in your welfare. And of course, every man and every woman is faced with the ultimate example of Jesus Christ, who is the epitome of a servant. When he washed the disciples' feet in the upper room, they were ashamed of themselves, as are we. It was that kind of servanthood that led Paul to give us these well-known words. They come from Philippians 2. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others, a genuine interest in others. So perhaps you're sitting there and you're wondering right now what you can do to better serve in this church. Well, here is one answer. I don't know. I don't. I would rather have God tell you the answer to that than me or anybody else. Listen to him. Ask him, open my eyes, Lord. Show me the needs. Help me to see. As I've been saying week after week, increase my radar, my motivational gift radar, so that I can see the needs and observe them, and then give me the strength, Lord, to step forth and help serve and do something. And here's a different answer to the question other than I don't know. Look around and observe the people in here who have the motivational gift of serving, and watch what they do and be inspired by them and go and do likewise. This room is full of servants. We are blessed with people who have a servant heart. I need a lot of it to rub off on me, and so do a lot of you. And by the way, the people who have the gift of serving, and whether you have the gift of serving or not, it's not done for recognition, is it? That's not what motivates. The fulfillment comes in giving of yourself. Now, you've heard me say some of these things in various sermons in the past, and some names may pop into your head as I go through this list. I had a good time preparing this list. I've talked about such people in this congregation who help in tangible ways those who are sick. I've talked about people providing transportation for those who are hindered. I've talked about taking meals to people who need help. I've talked about some folks who've done some lighthouse work for somebody who needed it. I've talked about people who've done home improvement projects for people who needed it. There's somebody in here who mowed the grass of somebody else when they could not. I've talked about people who make encouraging phone calls to those who need to be encouraged, those who send cards regularly, those who take care of our trailer and the contents of our trailer, those who help set up here every Sunday morning, those who help load out every Sunday morning, and they go home later than the rest of you because they're making sure everything's taken care of. I've talked about those who help carry things to the cars because somebody's got to do it. I've talked about people who will park cars for other people so that they can be let off at the door. I've talked about singing in the choir. That's a form of serving. I've talked about ushering. That's a form of serving. I've talked about people who pray for other people with specific needs. That is serving. I've talked about people who say yes when they're asked to join the board and when they're asked to serve on a committee. Exclamation point. Did you find yourself in that list? If not, why not? Or perhaps you do serve in ways that we do not know. I'll bet there are a lot of people in here doing things behind the scenes we don't even know about. Well, don't hesitate to share it with me. It's encouraging to hear about it. I can share it anonymously with other people. That's bodybuilding, folks. That's bodybuilding. And that is helping our fellowship function. But wait a minute. Lest you think that the only way that you can serve is doing something for one another in this room, in this church, for our members, let us remember that we are called to serve outside of the church as well. The majority of the things that I just talked about can be done outside of the church as well. And doing them is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells other people who we are and who he is. And don't miss this, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians 3:24. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. When you serve within the church and outside of the church, you are doing it for Jesus. I read a story about a man named Bob Pierce. Bob Pierce was dying from a very painful disease. It kept him awake at night. And so the doctor gave him medications to help him sleep. And even though he was miserable in his body, He told his pastor that he wanted to make one last mission trip. And so he joined a group from his church and he went to Indonesia. He was walking through a small village there and he came upon a young girl who was lying on a bamboo mat right beside a river, and there were tears coming down her face. And so Bob asked the guide, because of the language barrier, to tell him about her. And this was the answer. She is dying of cancer. And she only has a short time to live. He was very moved by this and he was upset. And so then he asked his guide, then why is she not in a clinic where she can be taken care of rather than by this river? And the guide answered and said this, her home is in the jungle. And she requested to spend her last days by the river because it's cooler here and it's familiar to her. Bob got down on his knees beside her, and even though she could not understand a word of his language, he prayed for her. And then when he finished, she said something, and he did not understand it, so he asked the guide what she said. And the guide replied, she said, if only I could sleep again. If only I could sleep. Tears came to his eyes because he understood intimately long nights of sleeplessness and pain. So he reached into his pocket and he took out his own sleeping pills and he gave them to the guide. And he said, please be sure that she gets a good night's sleep as long as these pills last. He knew that he was 10 days away from getting his own prescription refilled. He knew that he faced 10 nights of sleeplessness and pain and restlessness for himself, but he considered it worth the price in order to serve Jesus Christ by laying down a part of his comfort for the sake of that young girl. What can you do to serve? Ask yourself what makes you comfortable. Share it with someone. Give it away to someone who needs it. Here is a scripture that you know, and it's going to be on our memorization list in a few months. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. When we serve, it's not so that we can brag about it or receive glory for it. You already know that. But do you know what it says in the very next verse? Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you hear that? Before we know it, before we perceive it, God has prepared it in advance. The needs of this congregation and this world that he wants us to perceive and to serve. Lord, open our eyes and move our hearts to be your servants. Let's pray. Lord, last week I promised my brothers and sisters that you were going to place a need in front of them to which they could give. And I challenge them to come back this week and share what you did and how they responded. Father, so far I have not heard one testimony, not one. That doesn't mean they're not there. You know, Lord, the secrets of our hearts. But Lord, now I've laid before me and my brothers and sisters the challenge that you would open our eyes to perceive the needs in our fellowship and around us that we can minister to through service. Lord, I'm looking for testimonies, not just to have our ears tickled, not just to be reminded of your holy word, not just to feel good about the fact that we have put in our time here and worshiped you as you've told us to do, but Lord, help us be Christ to one another in this body and to the world. May our hearts be awakened and broken and moved and stirred for his sake. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.